Amen. What about a vision? Have you ever thought about vision? Well, we're going to talk about it a little bit. And I want you to know that without a doubt, God desires for everyone to be saved. Did you know that? I want to give you a scripture to start with, and it's in 2 Peter 3 and 9. I just want to read one scripture there. I got a whole page full of scriptures that I did give Mike. So I'll just take them one at a time, and we'll walk through it as God's leading us. But a lot of this that I'm going to speak on this morning even ties back to what we've been teaching on Thursday night for, it seems like, a year in the book of Hebrews, and we're going to hit some of that when we get to it. But in 2 Peter 3 and 9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance." Now, I want you to know, if God's word says he's not willing that any should perish, what's that say to you? What's your conclusion of the fact that he says he's not willing that any should perish? In other words, he's on your team. He wants the best for you. He wants everyone to be saved. Did you know God's will is that everyone be saved? Yes, it is. Amen. Can you imagine how crowded it'd be in heaven if nobody went to hell and everybody went to heaven? But my Bible says hell hath enlarged herself. I wonder why. Why? They must be having a lot more success, if you would, than heaven is having on eternal souls in the lifetime, which me or you know. And then he says in here, but that all should come to repentance. What but does but mean? On the other hand, we should all come to repentance. Amen. It's really an either or situation. You can't have it both ways. Amen. And God is just, sometimes I think he's so simple. He says, you see, all these choices we make as your people and all the things we do in our lifetime, in reality, there's only two choices when it comes down to it. You're either going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. God's either going to be happy with you or he's not going to be so happy with you based on the choices you make. Amen. That he says we should all come to repentance. Amen? Believe it or not, repentance is the first step to salvation. Amen. If you want to be saved, you have to start with, I'm sorry, forgive me. Because all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. All of us know we've made mistakes. All of us have not been the perfect angel that our moms think we are. Amen? So we do have to do some things. And so we would need to do some kind of mental recall in what we've studied of the Word of God recently, knowing that that we should all come to repentance. Amen? Now go back with me to Hebrews 11th chapter. It hadn't been that long ago we talked on it. And I just want to read the first verse. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." How many of you got that memorized? Can you close your eyes and say it? "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Yep, we can do it. All right. That's pretty much a crucial scripture, and it was crucial enough that the person that wrote Hebrews, inspired by the Holy Spirit, thought he needed to get that to us. So when we look back to that, we found that this scripture is the basic definition of what faith is. So many people don't understand what faith is all about. Amen. They just think it's an imaginary something they can come up with on their own. But It's not that at all. Faith has to have some substance to it. Amen? Now, I know you can't see it with your natural vision. It's something that you have to evidently hope for. And it's the evidence of things not seen. All right, so faith is something you can't see, but you know it's there. Does that make sense? Because you have the evidence, it is there. Amen. So when we studied this just a few weeks back on Thursday, we spent quite a bit of time on that. Number one, faith can only take in the things we don't have a physical sensation of. You can't taste it, you can't grab it, you can't see it, you can't smell it, you don't hear it, but you know it's there. Amen? Now, there's not too many things in our lives or even in this world that somehow or another we can't connect to with our senses. But faith is not what it takes to grasp those things. Faith is what it takes to grasp the things that we don't know is there, yet we believe in them. Somehow in 2020, when we see things that were cloudy, fuzzy, blurry, dark, what do? We made a doctor appointment. We went to the optometrist. Well, that was nice. And he can test the pressure in your eye. Did you know that? Your eye has to have certain pressure. It can't be too high, can't be too low. He can check your eye and look for glaucoma. He can test your eye and look for astigmatism. You know what astigmatism is? Astigmatism is when there's a dot out there, but when you see it, it's oblong. It's not just a dot. It spreads it out. That's what astigmatism does. All right? Isn't that cool? Look what you learn when you sit under Brother Dude. Amen. But he would call that your vision test. Now, we're talking about vision a little bit this morning. And I want to do a vision test. Now, he can tell you whether you're farsighted or nearsighted. And some of that can be corrected with glasses and corrective lenses or even contact lenses. A lot of those things can be done to correct that. Amen. But in a vision that God's eye is far from you, and you can't correct your vision by putting on a different pair of glasses or contact lenses. You need to get God's vision directly from Him. Amen. Now, if you missed the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, bifocals, contact lens, glasses, there is nothing that can help you get that and see the faith that God wants you to have. Amen. We found out when we studied that biblical faith has some things that are pretty well tied to it. You can't separate some things that are scriptural from faith. One of them is you must believe. You can't have faith unless you believe. Number two, if you're going to have faith, you must have something you hope for. Amen. You hear a lot of people talk about in 2020, this is a hopeless situation. Well, it's only hopeless because God's not involved. When God gets involved, it's not hopeless any longer. And number three, if you're going to have faith, you got to repent because you're headed the wrong way. Amen? And in Acts, the second chapter, Paul told those people on the day of Pentecost, you're an untoward generation. You know what untoward means? You should be going toward that, but you're going untoward, you're going the wrong way. So what did he tell them? Turn around. The word repent means about face, turn around. Say you're sorry, make it right, turn around and go the right way. And if it's true repentance, it will be the situation that caused you to go the wrong way. If you face it again in the rest of your life anytime, you'll choose not to go that way. You'll go the way you should go. Amen? That's what true repentance is for. Amen? The reason you must repent to have true faith is because you were going and looking at the wrong things. You were doing it with your natural eye, and what you saw with your natural eye, you chased but it took you away from the things your spiritual eyes would have had you to follow. Amen. Everybody knows that, right? And without these three, you'll never find the vision God wants you to have by faith. Amen. Biblical vision is spiritual perception. Biblical vision is spiritual perception. Amen? Amen. When Jesus in John 4:24 was speaking to the woman at the well in Samaria, in Sychar at Jacob's well, he said unto her, God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now she said, now we like to come to this certain mountain. God meets us there. Well, that may have worked at times. But now, Jesus said, things are different. There's coming a day where you're not going to meet at your place or my place. If you're going to meet Christ, it's got to be met right here in your heart. Amen? So those that worship him must, M-U-S-T, worship him in spirit and truth. No getting around it. Amen. Now, I like to go back sometimes and just kind of pick in the whole picture of things. And I look at Genesis 1:1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Did you know that? Amen. I want to tell you something. Every vision has a beginning. Did you know that? Amen. Every job you ever did had a starting point. Every vision has a beginning. No one ever been born into this world and lived in this world had a vision except that they got that vision from God, except God. God had his from the beginning. Amen? Amen. That would even include Jesus Christ. Because John said the same words about him in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was made God, and the Word became flesh. You know that one? Of course we do. That's commonplace study that we'd have. But in the beginning, that's when Jesus' ministry started, because that was the beginning of his earthly ministry. Amen? Amen. Nobody knew anything about being born again till Jesus Christ spoke to Nicodemus and told him that's what it's going to take. Amen. Therefore, God created everything that you see that's physical and gave the spiritual aspect of that to man. Think about it. Because when he created man, Genesis 1:27 said he created him in his own image. Amen. Now, I know there's a scripture in the Bible says we were predestined, and a lot of people don't understand predestination or don't understand that particular scripture, but the Bible is clear if you read long enough in there in the same text. What are we predestined to be? We are predestined to be in the image of Christ. Every day you should be more like Christ than you was yesterday, last week, last month, or last year. Amen? That's your job as a child of God, is to become more like Christ. That's what you're predestined to do. That's what God stamped on you when he said, I'm making you in my image. Now see, Christ doesn't have to become more like Christ. He is Christ. God doesn't have to become more like Christ because he's equal to Christ in the Godhead, the Trinity. So those two, we don't have to worry about becoming more of the image of Christ. But where did we start? As sinners, as humans, if you want to call that, or as fleshly, seeking fleshly, looking at the world, looking at what the devil tempted us with, and finally we got a vision, said, that ain't taking me where I want to go. Now there's only two places to end up, and if you really look at your life and say, the things I'm chasing, which place is it going to take me to? One or the other. Well, if it's going to take you somewhere that you don't want to go, what are you going to do? You're going to repent. You're going to turn around. You're going to go the opposite direction so that you're going the right way. Amen. If you wanted to go to Louisville and you went out here and got on 75 and started up 75 north, it's going to be a while before you get there, because that's the wrong direction. Amen. You made a wrong choice. Once you realize that, God allows you to make a U-turn. Amen. Unless there's a no U-turn sign there, or get off the next exit and get back on. But you got to find your way south if you're going to make it there. Amen. Well, the same is true in your everyday choices you make in your life. They're taking you somewhere, and if it's not where you want to be, you got to make a U-turn in your life. Amen? So when God said in Genesis 2 and 7 that he breathed into man and made him a living soul, from then on, man has had the opportunity to get the vision God wanted him to have. His soul is what is important to God. Amen? That's what makes him accountable for his actions, both in the flesh and in the spirit. So to be accountable for your soul, you must maintain a vision that guides you towards the goal that God has designed for you to achieve. Amen? I know a lot of companies, and Sears was always that way when I used to work. I'm not a part of that anymore, but those of you that have jobs, you know, usually the first of the year, all the managers call you in. Now, the goal for this year is, you know, and Sears would even give us goals, and they would have meetings and say, well, we didn't meet the goal, but they didn't tell us what the goal was until after the month was over. They were good for that. Now, we're going to have a goal this year, this month. We got to meet that goal. And then when they have their meetings, they say, well, you did 6.7, but your goal was 8. You didn't quite make it. Work hard. So next month, we do 8.2. And they say, well, you did really good. You did 8.2, but the goal was 9.3. And when they're constantly moving the goalpost on you, eventually you lose hope in trying to reach the goal. Amen? Well, God's not that way. Amen? He's got the goal set, and every choice you make along the way is striving to reach the goal that God has for you. Amen? In the case that most of you didn't know, I'll tell you exactly how I stand on it. It's a couple issues. One of them is Ohio State football. If you didn't know where I stand, I am a Ohio State football fan. Amen. I really don't care who else wins other than Ohio State. It's always nice if the team up north loses. I can always appreciate that. And if you don't believe me, you can ask my wife. When they're playing, I usually have my schedule worked out to where I can be in front of the TV. I've only personally, I went to Ohio State my freshman year, and I went to every home game. That was pretty neat. And the reason I could is because as a student, the tickets were really cheap. And we got to sit in the student section, which they don't have seats there. You have to stand up and holler and stand in over in the corner. But they were cheap, and you got to see the game firsthand. Now, that was pretty cool. Since then, I think I've been to two other games, and that's covering a period of 50 years since I graduated. Wow, I'm an old guy. All right, but I still like them, and I always try to watch the games. And even on the Big Ten Network, sometimes I get to watch the replays. They replay the whole thing over, and I get to watch the whole game again. Over and over. Over and over. But I just... like Ohio State football. But the reason I like it, I have to confess, I've learned so much of life's lessons by watching and listening to coaches and players. Amen. Let me give you some examples. Number one, football's a team sport. Amen. When the clock's ticking and the play's in action, they're allowed to have 11 people on the field on each side of the ball at the same time. Now, I don't care if they dress 110 of them, only 11 can play at a time. They'll get a penalty if there's 12 players on the field, or even if there's 10, they'll suffer the consequences of that. So, football's a team sport, and so is God's church. Number two, if an individual makes a mistake or gets a penalty called on him, the whole team suffers for that penalty. Did you know that? Same thing happens in God's church. So be careful what you do, what you say, where you go, because you could be affecting other people. Number three, every player has a part to perform on every play, just like God's church. Amen? That's what we call unity. Amen. When a player gets the big head and thinks he's better than everyone else on the team, usually the whole team suffers because of that. We call that pride. And we know what God thinks about pride. If you don't, take 3 minutes, look it up in your concordance. It won't take you long to figure out God hates it. Amen? But the whole team's going to suffer if one person thinks he's better than the other 11. Amen? There's never been a player so good that he could tell the other 10 on his team to just go ahead and take a break, drink another Gatorade, I'll just cover all this myself. There's never been any single player that could take on the other 11 and beat them all by himself. It's a team effort. Well, guess what? That's just like God's church. Amen. There's nobody in here big enough to take on the devil and everything the devil can throw at him, and the rest of you just skate through and we'll all go to heaven together. I don't think it works that way. Number four, and the biggest lesson I've learned, is that when the team first meets, even before they show them what a football looks like, they get together in a classroom and they set some goals, or they give them a vision for that season. How many games do you think we're going to win this year? Well, let's see. If we play 14, I think we should win. And they talk it over. And maybe how many wins they're going to have at the end of the season. Maybe if their goal could be to make it to the championship game. Or maybe they'd like to play in the Big Ten championship game, or even make it to the national championship playoffs. That's a pretty high goal for all the colleges that play football. There's only four that get to make that. And actually, there's only one that gets to win it. Amen? So that's a really lofty goal. And any team that hopes that if they work hard enough, play hard enough, do the best they can on every situation that comes along in every game, they'll be okay. Amen? And some of them don't believe that they're ever going to make it to the championship. And the coaches have to pretty much push them and prod them and keep them going to be part of the team. But all of them think sooner or later we're going to win a game. Amen? Now, I didn't ask. I usually ask my phone if there's, you know, if I want to know who's ranked where. But I could ask her and say, "Hey Siri, is well, I better not say it. She'll answer me." Never mind, Siri. Anyway, I got to be careful what I say. But I can ask her: is there any teams in the football that have lost every game they played this year? I don't know of too many of them. Amen. Even in the NFL. I think the Jets finally even won a game, right? And the Bengals, of course, they've struggled through two or three and got really lucky against Pittsburgh, but that's another story. Nonetheless, all the teams, when they get together, have a vision for the season. The coaches even try to come up with little gimmick sayings. Amen. If you play for Notre Dame, they got to paint it on the wall. Play like a champion today. You know, or different sayings they have. And as the teams go out of the locker room, they can see that to remind them what they're doing. Others have mascots or statues that stand for whatever they're doing. It could be anything, but it's a thing that keeps them keen on the vision they have as to why they're going out of the locker room with a helmet and shoulder pads and everything else on and tape everywhere to get out there and do what they need to be doing that day for that game. Amen. So if anybody had a vision where we're going to lose every game this year, they shouldn't even play it. They should just go ahead and forfeit and call it a day and go on to White Castle and have lunch. Amen? No sense playing it. Amen. But I have seen some of the churches give up before they really get going. Amen. God's not in that. So with those goals in mind, the coaches work them out. The coaches come up with the best strategy for the games they're going to play so that they can hit those goals. They, again, come up with little phrases that they say. I know sometimes I think Ohio State had the backfield in their defensive back. They called them the Silver Bullets. Amen. They didn't think anybody could get a touchdown on them. That was their goal. Don't give up any touchdowns. Yeah. It didn't work, but it's a good goal to have. And whenever they give one up, don't worry, we got some more silver bullets for them, or whatever they would say. There are phrases to remind them of their visions and their goals. They even have them painted in the locker rooms or on wristbands or whatever. Some of them even have scriptures on their under their eye black stuff. Did you know that? Amen. There's all kinds of things people do to remind them of what they need to do to keep their vision straight. Amen? So if we can be a champion today, we might want to keep on working and be a champion tomorrow. In the weight room, they might even have a sign up that says, one more rep could make the difference. So when you're squatting under 600 pounds of weight on your shoulders and stand back up with it, however many times you can, one more might make you a champion. That's what they try to instill in their minds. Amen. When I was a weightlifter, I always knew what weight I should be working out with. It was a weight that I couldn't do five reps with, but I could do three. If I couldn't do three, that was too much weight. If I could do five, I didn't have enough weight. That's how I regulated it. I knew what I was doing. And when I got to doing three, and then I could do four, and then I could do five, I added more weight. Amen. But if I wasn't feeling well and I couldn't even do three, I knew I had to take some weight off and recoup what I'd done. Now, as your pastor, I'm no different than you. I have to have a vision just like you have to have a vision. Amen. God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't treat me any better than you. Amen. He's given me a different calling. That's different from a vision. Amen. But I still try my best to encourage the troops and get them ready for the battle that's ahead. Amen. I study. I pray. And I try every week to get a vision from God that I can lay out in a sermon that God can touch those in the pews that are under the sound of my voice and hear what I have to say, or even those that when Mike records what I say and he puts it out there for the internet, maybe somebody will listen to it on the internet and be encouraged or be inspired to be what God wants them to be. I have to keep in mind that whatever I'm doing, I want God to get the glory for it in the long run. Amen? So, when it comes to those things, but ultimately it comes down to every individual doing their best in every situation that comes along, and for the church to reach any goals that in this life and in the life of God's church. All right. What's it going to take to reach that? Where are you going to find a vision? Well, number one, God has given us His playbook. That's the first thing you get when you go to camp to play football. They give you a playbook. Amen? And you're required to guard that with your life. Don't take it. It's only yours. And if you get traded, you have to turn it in. Amen? You cannot take any notes on it. You can't write anything down. It all has to be memory. Amen? Amen. So hopefully you guys all have your copy of God's playbook. It's called the Bible. If you don't have one, see me when the message is over and I'll see to it you get one. Amen. Because God wants you to know the plays He's calling and the things He's doing to help you be what you should be for His church. Amen. Number two, someone has to be in charge. So God has called a person or two that can watch over every position that's out there and watch the total operation. But in reality, somebody has to be responsible for everything, and that's not me. That's the Holy Spirit. He's going to help you. As I coach, He's going to help you see what you need to be what God wants you to be in the whole total operation of what's going on. He's the counselor. When a situation arises that you're not sure of, go to Him. And He'll give you the advice you need to get through that tough spot. Amen. And prepare you for the next issue that's coming. Amen. Just because you hit a tough spot and God helps you through that, that doesn't mean it's the last one. Huh? But God, you can use that as a building block towards the next time something comes up. Amen. So these two, God's Word and God's Spirit, are the two witnesses that's going to help you be successful every day in your walk with God, seeking to be what you have the vision to be for God. Amen? Every time a New Year's come up, which it's coming up this week, you ask yourself, which party should I attend? And which one should I decline? Amen. Now, you know what's going to happen in some parties. And personally, a lot of them, I don't want to be a part of. I'd rather not be around those. Amen? So, we have to make sure we get everything in line the way God's Holy Spirit would have us to spend this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Amen? Remember, every game is important. But if you lose a game, don't quit. Correct your mistakes. Make better choices the next time. Don't forget, the other team's out there scouting your every move. They've got film of what you did last week that they've been studying all week long, looking for your weakness. Did you know the devil scouts you? Wants to see where your weakness is so he can attack you in that particular area? Amen. They want to do their best to exploit any weakness you have. That's just like being in God's church. Amen. Now in 1 Corinthians 15th chapter, verse 19 says there's going to be some tough times. And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. I wonder why the Holy Spirit told Paul to say that. You think Paul had been in some rough places? You think Paul made some bad mistakes in his life? Do you think he was going the wrong way a time or two? And the Holy Spirit had to jerk a knot in his tail, turn him around, kick him with a big number 9 boot up the backside and get him moving the right direction. Well, that's the dude version of the scripture. But there's going to be tough times. There are going to be tough times for all of us. And there are opponents out there that also want to be champions. And they want you to be champions with what their vision says their champion looks like. And for them to succeed, you must fail. Did you get that? So if the devil wins, in reality, you lose. Amen? But the vision is just not about getting through today. Amen? with a victory for today, but let's win tomorrow. And win next week. And win next month. And win next year. And if in this life we've done that, we'll win the championship and have heaven eternally. Amen. Notice in that verse 19, it says, starts out with if. That's a study word. What's it mean? It's conditional. If you do, or if you don't, this scripture applies either way. If in this life only. Oh, only. You see, to be successful in this life, all you have to do is outrun your neighbor. And you'd be considered a success. Amen. If your bank account's bigger than somebody else's, or your debt's not near as deep as somebody else's, you might consider that a success. And back off, ease up, slow down, take it easy. But in the race that God wants us to run, it's to the end. Amen. There were times in my life when my debt was way deeper than I wanted it to be. And the bank account was much shorter than I liked. Amen? And so we had to make some choices and get some things straightened out and do some things in our life. Amen. My dad gave me some good advice. He said in America, now this ain't true all over the world, but in America, and of course this is 50 years ago too, or maybe 60 years ago, he said if you're willing to work hard enough for anything in America, you can have it. Amen. He told me I could, if I didn't smoke cigarettes, the money I saved just from cigarette smoking, I could drive a brand new car every year. And I got my calculator out. I said, Dad, don't make sense, Dad. A brand new car costs this much. He said, no, I'm coming with the conclusion that you got a brand new car in 1950. And in 1951, you trade that 50 for 51, the difference will be how much you spend on cigarettes in 1950. Or 60, 70, 80, 2000, 2020. If you had a new car in 2020 and you wanted to trade it for a new 2021, the difference in the price in those two, he said, would always, because the price of cigarettes is always going to go up. Of course, the price of cars are always going to go up. But the difference between the two would be how much you spend in cigarettes. You know what? It didn't take me long to figure out. I don't think I want to smoke. I don't see the advantage of smoking enough to keep me from missing that opportunity. Now, have I bought a new car every year? No. Usually we buy used cars as we were growing up and getting our finances together. Finally, we're so rich now that in 2012 we bought a brand new Honda Odyssey. How about that? And we paid on it for a long time, but it is paid for. Isn't that great? I love driving a car that's paid for. Amen. I don't care if the neighbor's is shinier than mine or louder than mine. Mine's paid for. Amen. So that's a goal for me that I achieved, and I'm glad of that. Amen. But I want you to know, things are not always going to work out the way you want, because he says, if, conditionally, in this life only, you see success in this life, or you're judging by this life, that's pretty easy. Because there's a lot of people worse off in this life than anybody I see in this building. Amen? All of you slept last night with a roof over your head. Not everybody gets to do that. Amen. All of you had the strength to get up, maybe have a little breakfast or a cup of coffee, and off to church you went. Nice clothes on. There's some people don't have nice clothes like you got. Amen. We are pretty fortunate. Amen. But if your goal is only to do better than your neighbor, amen, or do better than the Joneses is the old quote they always say, I'm doing better than the Joneses. Well, that's not a very lofty goal. But the hope we have in Christ, it says there, we have hope in Christ that is far more reaching in this life than if it was in this life only, than if we looked at it from an eternal standpoint. Amen? So The most disappointing loss a football player will ever feel in his life. They may lose half of their games, but if they get to the championship game and lose it, man, that's the hardest loss there is to take. Ah, we came so close. Well, think about it. You live all your life. You got some wins, you got some losses, but you get right to the finals and miss out, that'll sting for eternity. Don't miss your opportunity to win the championship. Amen? So you went through training camp, you worked out in the weight room, you practiced and sweated hard every day, you played through injuries, but then you got to the final game, and to lose there is just so hard to deal with. Amen? But remember, there's only one champion per year in football. That's not like God's church. There can be multiple champions every year. Amen? There can be a whole team of champions every year. You know what the losers say when they lose the championship? Wait till next year. Well, there's coming a day where there won't be a next year when you think about winning the championship for God. Amen? When it comes to your soul, there is no next season. There's only one championship, and you got to gain it as you walk with God's Word and God's Spirit guiding you through life. Amen. It's up to us to get it right, to be the image of God that God created us to be. Amen. But it never happens without a vision. You got to have your eyes wide open in this lifetime in every choice you make. Amen. In case you didn't know, there are people that will call you on the telephone and tell you what a wonderful deal they have for you. They'll even pay for commercials on TV and put them on your widescreen to let you know in full color, you can't miss this deal. And yet, it's probably something, if you fall for it, it won't even be what it is when it arrives from Amazon bringing it to your house. Amen. Amen. Probably some of you here got disappointed this week when you opened the box for a present that you told somebody, oh, this is on my list. Okay, I'll get that for you. And you open it up, and it's a miniature version of what you really wanted. Amen. Been there. Been disappointed, right? Amen. We have to be... What are you laughing at? Amen. It happens. We fall for the enemy's tricks. So when you go through life, do it with your eyes wide open. Know that there are people out to take advantage of you. Amen. So when you consider what God's will is for you in 2021, don't take it for granted you're just going to fall off a stump and everything's going to be wonderful. No, no, no. Don't get so caught up in the disasters of 2020 that we don't learn from some of those things to guide us in our vision for 2021 and beyond. Amen. Just because you had a bad year last year, it doesn't have to be a bad year next year. Amen. So drop down in that 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians to the last two verses, and it says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Therefore, we know what that means, don't it? It means what I'm going to tell you now is based on what I just told you. You get that? So if that's the case, but thanks be unto God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Verse 57 tells us where our victory comes from.
Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. That's the only one. And of course we know, therefore, is based on that victory, that my brethren, of course that's God's church, be steadfast. What's that mean to you, to be steadfast? Amen. You ever watched anybody that was wishy-washy, whichever way the wind was blowing, that's the way they were going? Amen. Amen. Face the battle every day with a vision that we're champions. Number two, he said, be unmovable. Set your feet on a solid rock. And that rock is Christ Jesus. It tells us that in 1 Corinthians 10 and 4. Amen? If your feet is fastened to your victory, you're going to be the champion God wants you to drink. Amen? Don't ever let the world or the devil substitute your drink. Because 1 Corinthians 10 and 4 says they drank of that rock, Christ Jesus. So don't substitute that drink for anything you think will satisfy your soul or your thirst for your soul, because it's not going to work. The only thing that's really going to satisfy your soul is having Christ in the midst of it. Amen? And then the third thing he said, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Amen. To be God's champion, you need to work your best every day. Always abounding. Amen. You think you achieved something great? You ain't even started yet, for the most part. God's got greater things next week and next year. You have no idea how far He can take you unless you get your vision connected to His will and walk parallel in what He wants you to do. Amen. God's champions is ones that work their best every day. Amen. Now, there may be people that are smarter. And in my case, yes, there are. There may be people with more talent. Absolutely. There may be people that are faster. Oh, yeah. I can't hardly get up and down the steps much more. But there's never going to be anyone that outworks me if I'm striving towards that championship goal that God's given me the vision for. Amen. So what about a vision? If you never had a vision beyond today, today is when you start your vision. Because Proverbs 29:18 says, without a vision, the people perish. But happy are they that love thy law. Amen? All right. God wants us to be His people. Now, I said at the beginning, you know, I'm a pastor, but God doesn't respect me any more than He does you. Think about Abraham in the Old Testament. God gave him a vision. Did he accomplish it? Yes, he did. Amen. But he had to do it God's way. What about Noah? Build a big boat in the middle of the desert? Man, if you don't have a vision, you're not going to build that thing. Amen. Never seen it rain before? Wow. God, what are you trying to do here? What's going on? Well, just do what I say. I'll give you the vision. You work it out. Amen. Now, it took him quite a while. Amen. Do you know how many years it took to build the ark? Whew. But that was the vision God gave him. Don't give up on it. He didn't just build the first level and say, that's good enough. No, no, no. There's got to be three levels. Keep going. But it took me 30 years to get the first one. Don't matter. Keep going. Amen? What about Moses? Don't you think he got tired of listening to all those whining, belly-aching 600,000 crazy people that don't want to mind, don't want to do nothing, but I feel sorry for him as a pastor. Amen. All the complainers, all the whiners, all those that do wrong. You know what? God said, well, you got too many of them over here that's whining and complaining. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm just going to open the earth and swallow about 20,000 of them. Then you won't have as much complaining going on in the congregation. Well, God has a way of doing things like that. Amen. Then they got to whining about something. He said, well, don't worry. I got some snakes. I'll turn loose on them and bite them and they'll die. Huh? But he kept his eye on the vision. Now, he messed up. Don't get me wrong. God punished him for it and didn't let him into the promised land. All right? But he still knew his vision was to get those folks from Egypt to Jordan. And he did do that. Amen? And if we'll do whatever God lays in our path to do, we'll do it. You know, God doesn't like Moses or Noah or Abraham or David or nobody else anymore, and he likes you. He likes you just as much. Amen? You may not have to go through the wilderness for 40 years. You may not have to build a boat that takes 100 years to build. Amen. You may not have to travel to a country you've never seen before, like Abraham had to do. But if God gives you that vision, that's what you should do. Amen. If all God wants you to do is witness to your neighbor, go get them. Sick them, buddy. Amen. That's what you'd say to your bulldog, wouldn't you? Amen. Sick them. Go get them. Amen. So if we do what God has given us a vision for in 2021, we're going to be a successful congregation, a part of God's church, doing what God wants us to do. And remember, Jesus never said it'd be easy, just worth it.